Good morning. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. We are so happy to have back in our studio Ms. Colleen Dalaval, who is the Assistant Director for Leadership Development here at Seton Hall University. Colleen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You know, for those of you who missed our groundbreaking Life Enlightenment show a couple of weeks ago, Colleen was one of our guest panelists who talked about how social media can enhance your professional career. But today, we're going to dive into the leadership skills that Colleen uses here on the campus of Seton Hall, because she has the task of working with all of the fraternities and sororities.
Yep.
Colleen, so before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you choose Seton Hall, and how did you choose to stay here after your undergraduate to get your graduate degree and then work in this current position that you have?
Sure. I'm one of a long line of Pirate alumni. I have family members that date back to the 50s and even before then, like coming to Seton Hall. So I like to think I had a choice in the matter, but I probably didn't so much. I came in for my undergraduate, and really I was looking at a different school, and I happened to get waitlisted there. So I looked at the Seton Hall after, and I just walked on campus one day and really like felt comfortable. I enjoyed the atmosphere, the environment, everybody I met. Just like it was all signs that I should come here. So I had a great college experience here, which I think probably led me into the field of higher education. I was involved in freshman studies as a peer advisor. I worked with the Seton Summer Scholar Program, which was a program for at-risk students and helped them like stay on task academically, socially. We worked with them throughout their 4 years. And then I continued that with after I got my bachelor's degree. I wanted to stay in education. I got my bachelor's in secondary education and English. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life until your senior year. I feel like that's when you always get your epiphany. And I just kind of decided I wanted to stay in a college atmosphere. So I went for my master's in English because somebody gave me a good piece of advice. Don't ever get your master's degree in higher education because you can always parlay it into another field. You know, you never have to be so specific in your master's degrees. So I happened to get a graduate assistantship and worked in the freshman studies department as a freshman studies mentor, and I academically advised first-year students. And then it just so happened that I had volunteered to work with the Department of Community Development, and that's really where I had offered them. I said, look, I want to get experience. Could I help you guys in any way, shape, or form? And they said, yeah, here are a couple projects. And, you know, that turned into a paid internship, and then the paid internship turned into I just happened to be here when an opening came around, and I had experience that fit that position, and that's what led me to the position now. It's kind of a unique role because it's a new position where they kind of put a lot of things together to make it. It's fraternity and sorority life as well as clubs and organizations, so it's a little bit of everything, which is good because I feel like I like to have my hands in everything.
So, I mean, that includes the Student Government Association as well?
I work with SGA-recognized clubs and organizations. Not so much hands-on with SGA as a whole, but...
Right. What about SAB, Student Activities Board?
Student Activities Board is a separate entity, too.
Right.
But I feel like we all really work in conjunction with
sure.
each other because we're all about the students and the programming and things like that. So we kind of have to work in conjunction with each other. Our department is one where we wear a lot of hats. So even though I'm not necessarily in charge of SAB, I'm usually at their events. So, you know, we try and help each other out, too.
And so you say that prior to your paid internship, you were just like an intern, a non-paid intern?
Yeah. Okay. It was like a volunteer position.
Okay.
I had just gone there saying, look, I want to work in this field of higher education, and I need more experience. Because I recognize the fact that, one, my master's is not going to be in higher education, and two, you know, I'm working on the academic side. I have a lot of experience on the academic side. I don't have as much on student affairs. So I recognize the gaps, which I think is important to do, you know, and finding the gaps in your experience and then seeing how you could fill those. And sometimes it means, yeah, you have to volunteer for things and build that experience. So.
But that led to a paid internship, which led to your
full-time position.
Right.
Yeah. So it really worked in my favor. So I'm really happy with my experience, too. I think it was good because I got a lot of different, as much as that internship was another thing to put on my plate, I got a lot more experiences that I feel like were applicable, you know, to a lot of different fields and positions.
So what has been your absolute best experience in your current role?
I'd have to say that one of my best experiences isn't necessarily one experience. I really think I've finally found my niche. I love working with students, and this has presented a challenge to me, and I feel like every day there's a new challenge, whether it's finding a way to work with the students program or finding out how we can revamp things or work with students to continue to help them develop or, you know, whatever it is, there's always a challenge. There's always something else going on because when you work with people, I mean, people are different. Everybody's different. Every situation is different. And I think that that's a good, like, that works for me. That's what I found as my passion, something that I like. I like to see problems and figure out ways to overcome them, you know. I think it's important for anybody to find what they like to do, like how they like to, what they would like to see on a daily basis.
But what has been your...
My favorite?
Yes, yes.
I have to say I'm like a sucker for seeing strolls. I wish I could stroll. I have no rhythm. But if I did, I would love to learn how to stroll. I've had a couple organizations.
Okay, you got to help me out here.
What is a stroll?
I'm dating myself here.
A bunch of our multicultural organizations, I'm talking about MPHC organizations, NALFO and MGC organizations for our fraternities and sororities, they perform like steps. Or strolls.
Okay,
yeah, stepping. Yeah.
Stepping, I understand.
I can recognize in myself that I have no rhythm. And if I could, I would love to learn how to do this. But I just love the performances, like to see the pride that the students have in their organizations and then how they translate that.
Truth be told, most of those folks, when they start stepping, they have to learn how to step.
I know. That's word on the street. A couple of organizations have offered to teach me. So little do they know I'm going to take them up on that, which is bad. But... nobody wants to see that stroll.
And we got to make sure we get a YouTube of that. But what has been your most challenging experience, and how did you deal with it, and how is it going now?
You know, I think that part of the most challenging experience that I've had is just being a new professional. And I think that part of that is that sometimes you have to accept that you don't know what to do. And sometimes you need to ask for help. I'm stubborn. And I'm like, you know, you have to be very self-aware when you're going through any kind of change in your life. And I think that part of it is owning who you are and recognizing what you need to do to make it work. You know, I personally have to recognize that, you know, as much as I want to be able to be on top of everything and know everything, I'm not going to know everything. I'm going to have to ask for help. And you know, like to kind of build on that from the beginning where maybe I was like, okay, I need to figure it out on my own and not ask for help. Now I will raise my hand gladly and kind of reach out to anybody and everybody I think could be able to help me. So that's part of the growing process too. And I think that's okay to do, you know?
That's excellent. So with these different organizations, how many students are you kind of responsible for in all of these collective organizations?
Well, a lot of students that might be in a fraternity or sorority are also in clubs and organizations, so some of it double dips. But roughly, I know the number for fraternities and sororities on our campus right now, as much as, you know, we might not believe it, is almost above 400 students.
Okay.
So that's just for fraternities and sororities.
Right.
Keeping in mind that a lot of those students are in multiple clubs, multiple organizations, so, you know, we oversee a large majority of the student population that I guess I'm responsible for.
Right.
I joke around with the fraternities and sororities and say, look, I don't have any kids, so I have to practice on you guys for when I do have kids, you know? So,
they go, thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say.
Now, a couple of issues ago in the Centonian, there was the issue of drinking, about the number of students who had to be sent to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
How significant of a problem is that here at Seton Hall?
You know, I think that drinking itself, underage drinking, is a problem across the country. You know, I mean, it's become ingrained in our culture. And this is just, you know, my opinion. I really do feel like sometimes we just, it's almost out of boredom. I think that you know, one thing that is an issue on our campus is, you know, students really working to combat the stereotypes of collegiate life, you know, because we do have a large number of students that maybe choose not to drink or not to, you know, go out or not to engage in behaviors that are high risk, but we don't hear about them, or they're not prevalent on this campus. Like, I do feel like the, you know, our student activities has really stepped up the plate, especially with the student activities fee this semester, I mean this year, and they are doing such amazing programs, but no one is taking advantage of, I mean, not no one, there are a lot of people taking advantage of it, but like, I feel like there should be more of a turnout at these events, you know?
Well, you know, Seton Hall is located in South Orange, which is I live in South Orange. Mm-hmm. It's a nice family environment. Seems like there's nothing to do in South Orange, but there should be something to do in Seton Hall. They should be attending these events.
Yeah, they're, you know, and the thing is, they're doing a lot of cool stuff too. Like, if I was still a student here, like, I would totally go. And they did a couple of things. They've changed up some of the standard events. For example, we had Winter Ball was a huge success. There were so many people there. Winter Ball.
Yeah, what is that?
Winter Ball. We actually had it at the atrium in West Orange. So okay. It was like, it was almost like you could relive prom again. And it was, you know, people really got dressed up. It was a great event. We had great food.
Right.
We had a great time.
We used to do the Sadie Hawkins thing when I was here.
Back in the day. They, but it's, I feel like students should get excited about, you know, Groove Boston is coming. That's a huge, like,
Groove Boston.
Groove Boston.
That sounds cool.
You got to YouTube it, yeah.
Okay.
Groove Boston, Groove Boston, Boston.
And what is Groove Boston?
Groove Boston is this awesome group that comes to campus. They're coming on March 30th.
Okay.
FYI.
Mark
March your calendars.
30th. Yes, yes.
And they're doing, they're going to transform the entire field house into a mobile club. They come, they bring everything on the trucks, they do lighting, they do a stage, a DJ comes, everything. It's awesome. Like, you should literally Google them and see the video, because the things they transform, it's insane.
Now, are they going to open that up to the citizens of South Orange to participate?
I'm not really sure what their policy is going to be. Yeah. I mean, I don't oversee that event in particular.
Right.
But, you know, if you guys did have questions, or there was a, you know, that people wanted to come, that would be something you could direct to Mary.
You know, there is a liaison committee between South Orange and Seton Hall.
Yeah, that would be something that I would suggest you guys talk to the student activities.
Yes, yes.
What about, I think that.
So it's like a big party?
Yeah, like a huge club.
Right.
So it'll be
without
poppin'.
The alcohol.
Exactly. Yes, without the alcohol.
Groove Boy, have they done it before here?
No, this is going to be the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to get the word out about Groove Boston. Seton Hall is putting it down.
Start spreading the word, Darrell.
That's
Come
right.
on.
That's right.
We'll put you on our publicity team.
Hey, sign me up.
Okay, good. I'll tell them back when I get back.
People are going to say, Darrell, what does he know about Groove Boston?
Probably.
Well, I really get the sense that you really enjoy what you do.
I do, you know, I really do. If I didn't have a genuine and desire to be at my job, I don't think it would be, you know, I would be doing the students justice. I think sometimes, you know, especially when you're in a position that serves a dual role as advisor, you have to kind of call students out on the when they're not doing the things that you think they should be doing, you know.
And that's how they grow.
Yeah, that's how you grow. But, you know, just like a parent who directs you in the right path is loving you while they do it. I tried to think that that's what I do as well. As much as you might not like me in that 5 minutes that I'm telling you, stop playing your music so loud. You know, in the end, I'm doing it to help you. I'm not doing it to hurt you.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. And how would you define your leadership style?
My leadership style. Wow. I don't know. In regards to a team, I would say I'm probably that person that like sits back, listens to everybody first, and then sees what needs to be filled. Sometimes I feel like people think you have to be the loudest to be the leader, but that's not really my style. In terms of working with students, I try and be upfront with them. I try and, you know, work with them to develop their skills. I try and give them. So When I'm working with the students, I try and give them respect because I hope that it would be a mutual thing. No matter what the situation, I always feel like it warrants a conversation, not just a mandate.
Right. You know, Phil Jackson had a book called, what was the name? Hoop Dreams or something?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I know
it was a book about his management style. And something that I picked up from him, which I found very effective in my career. At the time, I had a team of like 120 people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you see something, address it right then. Don't wait.
Yeah.
You know, take 10 minutes to deal with it right then. Don't make a big deal about it, but address it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be very effective.
Yeah, I feel like that's the most upfront way to do it. You know, it doesn't harbor resentment. It doesn't harbor, you know, it. I always joke with my students. I say, like, look, we're part of a community. If you see something, you should say something. Just like if I see something, I should say something. I always joke that this is the New York subway. We need to, like, hold each other accountable because if we don't, nobody else will. And it'll just, what comes down on me is going to come on everybody. And what comes down on one of us hurts all of us.
Right, right. Speaking about that, mm-hmm. There's been some incidents over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
students off campus, muggings. What advice do we give our students in regards to when they leave the gates of South Orange? What should they do to protect their safety?
You know, I think that at Seton Hall, we really try to teach all of our students to be smart citizens. And sometimes, you know, that means that you really need to think about where you are, be conscious of your surroundings, be conscious of your environment. You know, we offer a lot of tools for our students to use on and off campus. And I think that students are now starting to utilize them a lot more. Like we have the Safe Ride, the SHU Safe Ride, we have the Shoe Fly, we have there are escorts on campus, you know, and these are all tools that can help anyone feel more comfortable, feel more secure in where they're going, what they're doing. My advice, you know, as someone who has been an undergraduate student here as well, would be, you know, just you need to be smart. You need to use the resources that are out there, and I've never once felt unsafe. Whether I'm working here until 1 a.m. or, you know, walking back home. I used to be a resident of South Orange as well. And I used the tools that were here and, you know, mm-hmm. I never had a negative experience.
That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, for our guests who have just joined us, we're here with Colleen Dalaval. She's the Assistant Director for Leadership Development here at Seton Hall University. So what type of leadership styles turn you off?
Turn me off.
What are the bad leadership styles?
I mean, I think everybody has their own style, and I think that needs to be respected in a way. But, I mean, I'm sure we've all experienced the person who comes in and doesn't listen, doesn't say anything, just, you know, barks an order, and that's it. And while that can be useful at times, because sometimes a decision just needs to be made, other times that, to me, it depends on the situation, but for other people, that could be a turnoff. You know, not listening, not being receptive, not understanding a team mentality, that can sometimes come off, a little harsh. I think, too, you know, anytime you go into a situation claiming to know everything or be an expert on something, sometimes that can, not intentionally, but, you know, hinder other people's reception of the information you may be providing. And you may be providing information that's vital to the conversation. So it's all about how you present the materials that you want to bring to the conversation. That's my thought.
And I'm not going to ask you this question about someone here on campus because I don't want to get you in a tight spot. But who are some of the leaders that you admire outside of Seton Hall? I know you admire our president and all that. You know, the president of the university and
yeah.
all of that. But outside of Seton Hall, who are some of the leaders that you admire and why?
I've had the opportunity. One of my mentors actually is at Seton Hall, and I don't mind naming her. Her name's Robin Cunningham. Robin has worked with me since I was a student, and I've learned everything I've learned about working with students from her. I can't say enough good things about her. But But besides Robin, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of great women at Seton Hall, and I feel like for myself, I've learned a lot from the women that are here as a woman in the field. I mean, outside of Seton Hall, I have had the privilege of meeting other professionals in the field. And, you know, sometimes it's not even about necessarily personally identifying with one person or two people. Sometimes it's just seeing what people do. And I find inspiration in every day. Like, me meeting students even helps to inspire me, because it shows me that that's, you know, a student coming to me saying, like, thanks, Colleen. I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but that really does justify to me a lot of the things that I do. So I know that didn't even really answer your question, but...
No, you did. You know, last weekend, I guess this weekend, they have a Women's Reflective Conference.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Our Associate Dean of Students, Rosario Reyes, is running a women's retreat, and I have not had the privilege to go. It's on my to-do list, but from the students and other administrators I know go... It's a phenomenal experience. It really helps our students to, like, empower them. It gives them tools, resources, workshops. And it's kind of cool because you get a chance to get away from everybody, you know? You can experience things, discuss things, bring up issues that as women we encounter on a daily basis. And it lets everybody come to the table for a conversation and think of real life solutions. How can we deal with these things? What can we as women do? How can we support each other? It's just such a great environment. It's really empowering.
Yeah, I noticed that they had the signs up and everything, and it looked like it had a really big crowd attending, which is great.
Yeah, for more information about the women's retreat, you should reach out to Rosario Reyes.
Okay.
She's our Associate Dean.
And
students.
Seton Hall just has a wealth of resources.
They really do.
And I'm really trying to encourage fellow citizens in mm-hmm. South Orange to really take advantage of those programs which are open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely should. You know, when we do have programming, especially like our students too, taking advantage of all of it. I know sometimes it can be overwhelming because there's so much going on, but sometimes just picking and choosing three things to do a week. You know, or maybe you haven't visited the Career Center yet. Like, that's your goal for this week. Make an appointment, follow through.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a student reach out to me on LinkedIn today.
Oh, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. And said, you know, I'm graduating in the spring, and I haven't begun my job search yet. So the first thing I sent to the student, I said, well, first thing you need to do is go over to the Career Center if you haven't done that, because they have a wealth of resources there. I said, but... You know, I'm committed to helping you out as well, but to utilize those resources that are already here is very important.
Yeah. The Career Center is like our hidden gem, I feel like.
Yes,
they
yes.
have just so many tools, and they provide resources free of charge, which is amazing. You never get that again in your life, and it's free for you, you know, throughout your career. It's something that you should definitely utilize.
Absolutely. And what are some of the key characteristics of a great leader?
I think a great leader has to be someone who has passion, somebody who cares about more than themselves. I think sometimes, you know, we really encourage our students to be servant leaders. And I know, you know, everybody's like, oh, servant leader. But that's really necessary. It's really important. You need to be selfless sometimes in order to lead. Sometimes when you're leading, the right path might not be the best for you. You know, but one thing Seton Hall does do really well is encourage its students to take on that global citizenship, to be that servant leader. And that's, I mean, that's part of the reason why I'm so happy with the experience that I had here.
Yes, Seton Hall, we do produce a number of great leaders.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity. I was at a conference for the American Association of Publishers, Professional Scholarly Publishers Division. Mm-hmm. And at my table was a graduate of the Seton Hall Diplomacy Program.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Which was great.
Yeah. You know? Did you guys talk Seton Hall?
We talked Seton Hall. We did. We kind of bored the folks at the table.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
But because we're both very proud. But what's next for you, Colleen?
What's next for me? I mean, I obviously I'm planning a wedding, so that's probably right up close. After that, I'm probably going you had mentioned I should get my PhD, and I think I probably am going to go down that road at some point, if not a PhD at EDD. I fully anticipate staying in this field for a while. You know, I definitely see myself as a dean of students at some point someday. So be on the lookout for that. But
why not president of the university?
Hey, you never know. I mean, I'm not closing any doors. I really like the day-to-day interaction with students, so I don't know if I'd ever go that high up. And I'm also, like, not that good with business. But that comes with experience. So.
Well, we have a great business school.
Yeah, yeah.
Stillman School of Business, so.
Shameless plug.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. one day, we'll see what happens. I don't really know. But definitely getting married in a year, so that's first.
That's right. And what is your fiancé's name?
My fiancé's name is William Petrick. He's also a graduate.
Is he here at Seton Hall?
No, he actually works at Richard Stockton College in New Jersey.
Oh, yes. I'm from Atlantic City, so I know all about that. Yes, yes.
He can get you some hookups at the golf course.
Oh, that's great.
He's going to kill me if he knows I said that.
Can he help me with my swing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's too into golf. It's too much.
And is there a favorite book that you like to read about leadership that you can share with our listeners?
I've been really bad. I haven't read that many books about leadership.
You just do it so well.
Oh, stop. I did read a book recently called Guyland, mm-hmm. which I thought was really helpful, especially like if you're working with men of any generation, which I feel like everybody does.
Right. Right.
You know, especially for me, because it specifically talks about their collegiate years. That's an awesome book. You should definitely look into that.
Guyland. Well, you know, it's interesting. The gentleman who I teach here mm-hmm. at Seton Hall, John Hoffman, he has his own business called Design Performance where he does training.
Okay.
And he has developed a series for women in negotiating.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to introduce it to the dean here because, you know, we teach consultative selling. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug. But what he found out, what he's learned through his research is that, you know, women, if they know and understand the characteristics of men and they understand their strengths, they'll do a better job negotiating.
Yeah, it's true. That would be a really interesting, I would take that course if it was offered.
Good. You know what? We could put you on his advisory board. I'm serious.
Yeah, definitely let me know because I need help with that. So that would be good.
You know, because when you go to negotiating is tough as it is. Mm-hmm. And then when you get the different gender issues that jump in there.
Yeah.
And knowing how to navigate those.
Yeah. And that's definitely something that as women, too, that topic is constantly breached, like how to continually advocate for yourself or negotiate or bridge that gap.
And how to deal with those negative connotations where if a man is negotiating hard, oh, he's doing a great job. But if a woman negotiates just as hard, some unsavory things are said, which I'm very happy that Rush Limbaugh has apologized for his remarks, because that type of vernacular is not necessary in our public conversation.
I absolutely concur.
So what parting thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners about Colleen and the great job that you're doing here at Seton Hall?
I would like to let everybody know too that anyone can be a leader. You know, this is not some, it's not like you're not Hercules, you can't just be born like it. It's not like that. You know, it's taking the first step and taking the initiative, taking the opportunities that arise. That's the most important part. You know, just coming to the table. And once you do that, girl, it's cake from there.
Well, believe it or not, we are out of time.
Oh.
And this has been so fun. I really enjoyed the time to get to know you even more. We're here with Colleen Dalaval, who's Assistant Director for Leadership Development here at Seton Hall. Colleen, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Darrell.
All right. Well, folks, this is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. Remember, leadership begins with you. Have a great weekend.